Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Good morning, beautiful people of the Center for Spiritual Living. And how wonderful to have live music. Thank you so much for that wonderful opening. Yes. And wasn't that wonderful? Who was that strange woman who just started coming up onto the stage and talking to us without introducing herself? Like we don't know who she is. Hi, Reverend Joyce. I am Edward Fulyun, and I am so delighted to be here with you as we talk today on the topic, which is the call to freedom. Now, we're talking about a special kind of freedom today. We're talking about freedom from the things that keep us from thriving in life. You know, like fear. Franklin Roosevelt, in his first inaugural address, said those famous words, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And as true as those words are, we can also be mindful not to minimize the experiences we are having in life in this world today, right now, that are very scary. And not to minimize the bravery that it takes to face them, to face getting up in the morning sometimes. You know, being brave. It doesn't mean a person won't be shaking, won't be trembling. So today I'm opening my heart compassionately to those people in our world who are trembling. Those people who are experiencing harm. And those people who are helping them. I'm thinking in particular about the first responders who are helping at the site of the collapsed condominium in Florida. Yeah. So let us begin our time together with an affirmative prayer for everyone who is helping and for those who are hurting. So I invite you to take another deep breath in. And as you exhale, if it feels comfortable to do so, let your eyes close. And then, in this state of prayerfulness, let each one of us, according to our own way, acknowledge the divine in whatever form feels right and appropriate. And let us let go of everything else just for this moment and enter into that attitude of gratitude for first responders, for helpers everywhere. Whether in Miami or Northern California or Southern California, in this nation, or anywhere where people are helping each other. And let us abandon all other considerations just for this moment in time and center our attention on appreciation for those who serve. And let us, through our meditation of gratitude, abandon those things that separate us and instead feel our unity with each other and let that felt experience of unity keep fresh before us this particular moment of prayer like a resolve. So that in the days and the months and the years to come, we will not abandon our memory, our knowing of that which has been given by so many through service. And may we stay rooted in this mindfulness with open hearts, especially to those who are struggling wherever they may be emotionally or physically, so that we, in our own thoughts, remain a safe harbor for them. And may our contemplation of gratitude inspire us to likewise help and give, to be kind, and to trust the capacity that humankind has to be loving. And I invite you to take this moment of prayer to be a moment of visualization for that world that we heard spoken in the welcome, of a world in which people are living according to the spiritual truth of their own understanding, in which humanity continues to awaken to its spiritual magnificence, and where we live as one family, kinship with all life, where unity and connection continue to guide us through the experiences of our life, through to the knowing that peace prevails. And then to bring this moment of prayer to a close, I invite you to say with me the formula that we use to complete it, like this. And so it is. There is so much going on in our world, you know. Sometimes I don't want to read the news, you know. That's no use. There's so much help that is needed and so many issues that are important. Important, and it can be overwhelming to tackle all of it at once. And you know what happens when we are overwhelmed? You know, with something like, say, for example, a pandemic. You know, we sometimes don't know where to begin and what to do. And some of us withdraw. Some of us haven't had the option to withdraw. We had to. In 2018, a friend of mine who is a doctor wrote on his social media a plan for how to respond to moments of difficulty. And there's so much wisdom in what he wrote that I have kept it through all the years as a guide. It's doctor's orders, I call it. I'll just call him the doctor. And he says, in moments of overwhelm, the first thing for us to do is to connect with each other. He writes, there is something special about being in proximity to another person, holding hands, working together. Oh, how we have longed for that as a community. And I want to let you know that we've got plans. We are planning to bring tables and chairs into that bare, barren social hall and turn it into a place where we can actually sit and talk and have coffee and commune and connect. Who'd have thought to make it truly a place that is a social hall? What about that? Yeah. And the doctor carries on to say, something happens to the nervous system that does not happen at a distance. Something calming, connecting. So, hug your friends and neighbors more often. Well, during the pandemic, we experienced the inability to do that and experienced a decrease in that kind of community. And when that happens, with that, there is the potential loss of caring. And when we don't practice being caring, we don't get better at it. We may actually begin to care less, to get out of practice. And that brings me to the second doctor's order, which is to care, connect and care. And the doctor writes, empathy has stopped more acts of violence than perhaps anything else. So be present for someone whether you know them or not. Like at the supermarket while shopping and pushing a cart around, look into someone's eyes and smile. Now you can when you're in the supermarket, right? Small moments of connection, he says, can certainly make someone's day. And I think about the ripple effect of doing that. I can't know for sure what my small acts of caring will ripple out to do in the world, but I'm confident that they do. And likewise, I can't know for sure what my acts of carelessness will ripple out to do in the world. But what I can know is that I have some freedom and agency when it comes to the question, should I care or care less? And during times of stress and overwhelm, it's so important to take care, to be caring, to practice care in those areas where we can. Because we may not be able to reach out and wrap our arms around the entire world and every single thing that needs our attention. So we must take care where we can, where we ought to, and practice it, whether that is with a houseplant or a pet, for yourself or for a loved one or for a community. Because what I practice at, I get better at. Next, the doctor says we are to communicate. Connect, care, communicate. So let's explore that thing called small talk. And then we'll talk about big talk. Small talk and big, you know, small talk, I mean, really. It used to be something I avoided. I was going to say like the plague, but I thought that would be bad taste. I used to avoid small talk because I didn't care to have conversation about things that were of no great significance or importance, and I would dismiss it as superficial and unnecessary. But I've learned that communicating has real purpose and value spiritually and socially and for health, emotional. You know, and not all conversations can be profound, Edward. You know, the complexity of life can't always fit into an easy conversation. And it doesn't need to. Small talk is like an invitation to share, to witness, to be witnessed, to be seen, to hear, to be heard. And it can create the space where deeper social connections have the possibility of emerging. So when we communicate, we create it's a common ground of safety and trust. I grew up in South Africa where the idea of talking to people was alien to us. You know, you don't talk to people out in the public. So when I got to the United States of America, especially in California, and the person at the store would say to me, "Hello, how are you?" I was like, "Good God, why are you talking to me?" Well, the answer to that is because when we feel socially connected, our happiness and our well-being has the opportunity to increase. So now I talk. I talk to people. It's delightful. I talk to people in the supermarket, at the dog park, standing in line to buy a coffee. I connect. To open to more of what this beautiful world is. And I don't try to find deep meaning in every connection. It's not always available there, but what is available, I would call it the antidote to isolation. And the more I practice small talk, the better I get at big talk, you know, the really important conversations. So let's talk about the big talk. Because in these times, there are so many important conversations to have. So our work can be, for example, to practice expressing ourselves without violence. You practice saying what must be said, what needs to be said, in the most beautiful way that is possible. And to practice that until it is your authentic way, not just something you're working at. In other words, work at it until it no longer needs work. And that takes forever. You know. I remember learning about the destructive ways of my words, and when I started to take responsibility for the emotional impact of my communication and what it left around me, when I started to own that, my life changed. I didn't stop having difficult conversations. I didn't stop being conflict avoidant. But I did start being more confident in who the real me is. This is particularly important, you know. These days when so much of our communication is online, because that screen or that device sets up this artificial barrier between your heart and mine, and then I could fall into communicating without care and without connection. Oh, now, don't get me wrong. I love that we have the ability to communicate and connect through technology. You know, we're doing it online. We're connecting with people in other cities, in other countries, and we're also connecting with people who are vulnerable and may not be able to be here in person just yet. And I don't want to minimize at the same time that as important as that is. I don't want to minimize the importance of face-to-face encounters, whether it is here in your spiritual community or whatever city you are in. Let me read to you a little extract from an article. It's called Easiness versus Happiness. Online communication is quick and easy. It's particularly important for people who live away from family and friends. However, research suggests that people tend to be happier after face-to-face compared to online interactions. Research in China found that face-to-face time with friends and family was also associated with a better long-term quality of life that didn't measure up in the same way when it was purely online. While social media helps us stay in touch, it needs to be supplemented with some other real stuff, like face-to-face time. So, as the world opens up, the doctor orders us to gather. Gather. That's the next piece of the doctor's order. Gather. Connect, care, communicate. Gather. You can show care for yourself by showing up wherever your community is and at whatever your level of comfort is. Join, mix, participate. So if you're listening on the radio on KSRO, or if you're watching from another city, one of the things you can do is look to your neighborhood for places and events and meetups, and then show up according to your level of comfort. Come together. And then the doctor says when you do that, you're stirring up a vortex of creation to change ourselves, our communities, and our nation. Stirring up a vortex of creation to change ourselves, our communities, and our nation. Listen to that. Stirring up a vortex. You, go stir up a vortex. I am a vortex stirrer. That's too tricky. Never mind. You know, for our local audiences here in Sonoma County, something that I just did, you know, because as I prepare these notes, I always go and test it out to see. Look to my local community. And I found SonomaCounty.com. SonomaCounty.com has a magnificent site with a calendar of events. Not only are there amazing things to do in our county, but there is a particularly mindful notice on the calendar. I think it was prepared for our message today. We encourage everyone to practice an extra dose of kindness and consideration when visiting Sonoma County. Coming back from a global pandemic takes time, and many businesses, well, they are still ramping up, which includes staffing levels. True, true. So I want to apply that. We can apply that. We can apply that to our families. We're coming back an extra dose of patience and kindness. In your workplace, they're coming an extra dose of kindness and patience. Apply that. And if face-to-face is not available to you yet, you know, maybe you don't feel ready, that's fine. Then certainly use technology until you are ready. And certainly you supplement technology with something like nature. Technology, you can, for example, take a look at our online bulletin. You got the little card, right? With the QR card, you open your QR reader or your camera, and you take a picture, and oh, there's the weekly bulletin. And everything you will ever want to do available for you. And if that's, you know, not something for you, then supplement your online experience by making a date with nature to take in its beauty, because nature's beauty is restorative and healthy and healing. The Irish poet John O'Donohue. Beholding beauty, I wish I could do his accent. Beholding beauty dignifies your life. Isn't that wonderful? Beholding beauty dignifies your life. It heals you and calls you out beyond the smallness of your limitations to experience new horizons. To experience beauty is to have your life enlarged. You know, when I hear that, beholding beauty in nature, it makes me think of our new assistant minister, Reverend Russ Laguerre, because he's driving across the nation and he's making videos in all the national parks as he goes along. And some of you, I know, I've seen you watching and commenting, and you can do that. You can go see his videos on our Facebook group. You don't have to be a member of Facebook, or you don't have to have an account. Just go to our website. Look under media, and it'll give you the link where you can view from the outside. You can see his journey across the nation, and it's rather exquisite to see the beauty that he is experiencing. So enjoy that. Now, observing beauty in nature is similar to, it's just like listening to music or viewing art or dancing or creating in any way, because it opens up something in us. It enlarges our possibility thinking. It sorts things out. Our COO, Linda Han, she sent me an article about pandemic brain. You know, a kind of mild disorientation. You know, where you find yourself repeating stories a couple of times in one conversation, or misplacing something that's right in your hand. I wonder why she sent it to me, but anyway. A lot of it comes from being slightly out of practice, being social. Yeah. So in the article, a professor at Oslo University, he studies the neuroscience of music, he says that simply listening to music increases oxytocin production, which generally contributes to feelings of empathy and goodwill. And music has also been shown to lower cortisol levels in the body, stress reduction. As long as the music is music you enjoy. not going to work if you hate it. So, and then it's even more pronounced if you're playing it or singing along or moving along to it. And so, doing all of this music activity is connected to improved cognitive process in the long term. Maybe that's why Linda sent it to me. But I was thinking about that, and so I want to say thank you to the musicians for helping us heal our pandemic brain. You know what else improves our well-being and our stress management and our cognition? Meditation, contemplation, mindfulness practices, affirmative prayer. And we've got practice groups for you. We've got resources for you. If you don't know your way through that world of spiritual practice, they're online at the moment because we're not quite ready to bring them in-house. Remember, extra dose of patience and kindness. And we've got individual prayer with a licensed prayer practitioner. We're not quite ready to bring people that close to each other. But it's online. It's available where you can be in a room with somebody who will listen to you in no uncertain terms, tell you the spiritual truth of your being. What a gift. I don't understand why those rooms are not bursting at the seams. After service today, go home and tune in and get a prayer. Let somebody partner with you to know the truth about your being. Let me get to the final point that the doctor prescribes. I wonder what it might be. Love. Surprise. Love one another. Be loving. Trust love. You know, I have a practice because I sometimes forget that love is the only power. Do you? And I invest in all kinds of other energy. Revenge, snarkiness, you know. So I have to come home to love, and I ask myself, as soon as I feel, you know, those telltale signs, irritation, annoyance, when I feel them rising up, I ask myself, what would love have me do? And it can be challenging to remember this when times are troubled. And so it does help to be gentle with yourself and with other people and an extra dose of patience and some love. So the doctor's orders are to connect, to communicate, to gather, to care, and to love. You know, when times are rough in the world, sometimes it helps me to look back at the other frightening times of my life and ask myself, what have I gathered from the experiences? What has been learned? And here's my list. Now, you've probably got your own. And if you don't, what a wonderful exercise to sit down and write down, what have you learned from the rough spots in your life? So I'm going to focus on the beneficial ones now. Number one. Nothing permanently means what I think it means. So hold it lightly with possibility in mind. Number two. This too shall pass in one way or another. So try to wait. Number three, goodness, truth, and kindness are my friends, and they can be trusted. Four, I must live harmoniously among people I disagree with. So deal with it. Number five. Diversity is the natural way of things, and diversity demands complexity. Accept it. Number 6. Be brave. Just because you're shaking or hurting, it doesn't mean you're not brave. Number 7. Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Don't forget them. Number 8. Be vigilant about your inner life, Edward, and keep it well. Don't put it last in priority. And now I have a new one to add to the list. Follow the doctor's orders. Connect more. Care more. Communicate more. Gather more. And love more. I invite you to take a breath in with me. And as you exhale, let your eyes close. As we take a moment of contemplation, in the infinity of life where I am, all is whole because the full living spirit is present in its undiluted form. And though my eyes may not be able to see that always, my heart knows it, my mind senses it, and my entire being stands for it. And so, I confirm and affirm, no matter what is going on and no matter where I stand, that love is the only power, that peace is the way, and that there is a power greater than I am moving in and through me, expressing its love through my affection in this world. I trust that love. And I celebrate and acknowledge that something wonderful moves through me when I know this. And I also acknowledge that when I contemplate in this way in affirmative prayer, my thoughts of the heart are acted upon by a spiritual law that translates it into experience. And so I look forward to seeing love show up through me in this world. And so it is.